Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Wednesday morning, September 23rd. It is the feast of the great saint and much-loved saint, St. Pio of Pietrelcina, Italy. We're going to be talking about him a lot today with our first guest after the break, Michael O'Neill. He has a new documentary that's airing on EWTN. We'll tell you all about it. Actually, tonight, because it's the Saints' Feast Day, Miracles of Padre Pio. Looking forward to that. And then Michael also has a new radio show on EWTN that will be coming up in the very near future at our programming schedule, and we will tell you all about that as well. It's a weekly show, starts October 3rd at 7 p.m. Eastern. So Michael joining us at 15 minutes past hour, and then it wouldn't be a Wednesday without going to Rome, at least over the phone with our dear sister and correspondent, Jones Rome. Joan Lewis joins us on a Wednesday morning. So we've got great discussions today. And here's a great quote from the Saint Padre Pio. Stay in the boat in which the Lord has placed you. You will not perish. It appears to you that Jesus is sleeping, but his heart diligently watches over you. At the right time, he will awake to restore your calm. And I had not heard of this quote before of Padre Pio, and it literally dropped in my lap. This is back in the summer when it was just one of those days. You know, you have those days where you're tired and you're wondering if what you do matters. And I was on my way to see my spiritual director and go to confession. So I was going to the parish center. And my husband said, "Hun, can you pick up the mail for me?" Deacon Tom said, "Grab the mail. They, you know, leave it in an envelope for him." And he said, "And go through it and, you know, and kind of sort through it while you're waiting for Monsignor." So I was in the office and I was doing that. And I was just thinking and praying. And I always, every day I get up and I say, "Okay, Lord, I am here to do your will. You're my executive producer. Andrew is my great producer. You tell me what you want me to do." You know, I'm always, always offering it up to him. Because you want to make sure you're always in God's will, which, by the way, and that's what the gospel is about this Sunday on the readings, is following the will, God's will, not your own will. And I was just having one of those frustrating days, and there was a lot going on, and just feeling very beaten up and exhausted. And you always wonder, okay, maybe it's time to move on to something else. Maybe your time in a particular vocation or area, maybe God wants you to do something else or to do something differently. You don't know. You always have to ask and pray every single day. Okay, am I still in your will? Is this what you want for me? And I guess I get so many direct answers because I'm so thick-headed. That's my Calabrese part of me. I'm half Calabrese and then half, not really Napolitan, but the other half is from Campania, two little towns in Campania, not far from Naples. But my father was from southern Italy, which we're known for our hard heads. Anyway, so I'm just kind of having my own little whining, you know, you want some cheese with that wine kind of thing. And I'm going through my husband's mail, kind of sorting through it for him, and out drops this card. And it's an ordination card from our associate pastor, Father Andrew Dawson, but I couldn't understand why Dominic, Deacon Dom, had his ordination card because he's not a new priest. This is his second assignment. He's been a priest for 3 or 4 years, and I thought, that's odd. You know, it was very nice. It was a beautiful card. I just looked at it. I said, oh, this is nice. And then I turned it over and, you know, thinking about those questions that were going through my mind and asking for answers. And then I read, stay in the boat in which the Lord has placed you. You will not perish. Okay. Thank you. I got it. I'm dumb sometimes. I'm not quite that dumb. Anyhow, the Lord uses his saints to reach out to us and to speak to us. And that's what's so beautiful about the great saints. And by the way, there was a really great movie that aired over the weekend. It was probably on many times before on EWTN regarding Padre Pio, filmed in Italy. Really, really good. Michael O'Neill at 9:15, Joan Lewis. And also, here's a big event coming up tomorrow. And we are very involved in promoting this at Ave Maria Radio. And you will find it on our website at avemariaradio.net. It's in the slideshow. And I think it's like the fourth button, and if you just click on the slideshow. National Day of Prayer and Fasting. That's coming up tomorrow. Now, you remember, Father John Mercado was with me a few weeks ago talking about this. All right, so this has grown. It's really taken on a life of its own. And If we have time, we're going to share part of a story that my former employer, WXYZ-TV, Channel 7 Action News, did with Father John. A very nice story on the National Day of Prayer. And Father John sent this out to let us know that they're getting a lot of really good attention on this, thanks be to God. So here's what we're asking you to do. Again, to spread the news about this. Tell others about it. Post it on your Facebook page. Encourage others to take part. Fasting can be fasting from the internet, fasting from TV, but Father John is suggesting if you're fasting from meals that you maybe have juice in the morning, something just to keep your energy up, but then don't have any meals until dinner time or whatever you're able to do. Obviously, you have to make that decision based on your own physical situation, but fasting can be a number of different things. But it is prayer and fasting for our nation, a national day of prayer and fasting. And Father John's beautiful initiative, Acts 29, is behind it. And that's Acts and then the Roman numeral 29. Okay, you can look it up online for that. But we do have a link right at AveMariaRadio.net. Now, this, again, has taken on a life of its own. It's really gotten very big, and so many bishops are picking up on this. And we've got several bishops involved, as I just mentioned, including Bishop Quinn from Winona. We have Bishop Bricken from Greenway, Bishop Thomas from Toledo, and many others who are involved. And Jeannie Mancini of the March for Life is on board, along with 3,400 Protestant pastors have received the information. We're not sure how many are taking part, but the state of Michigan is even officially recognizing it as well. And there's a great quote that my station manager, Mike Jones, used in the email he sent out to us this morning as a reminder, a great quote from the one, the only, G.K. Chesterton. What's wrong with the world? I am. So the idea with this is that to remember the only people we can change with the grace and the help of God, right? It's ourselves, the people we see in the mirror. Now, hopefully, if we change, we continue to go through our own purgation and improvements and perfection, because we're all trying to be more like our Lord and to be a witness, that when we are a witness, so we are better Christians, then that really impacts the world. And so it's prayer and fasting for our nation and for our own purification as well. And that's tomorrow. And you can go to Acts29.org. Again, the Roman numeral Acts 29, okay, .org, National Day of Prayer and Fasting. Or probably the easiest thing to do is just to go to our homepage at Ave Maria Radio and go to the National Day of Prayer and Fasting slide, which is in the slideshow there. I think it's the fourth button in. So check it out, AveMariaRadio.net, and join us and Father John Ricardo and many bishops in praying and fasting for our nation tomorrow, a national day of prayer. And we all need to come together in prayer for our country, for each other, and, of course, for the world. All right, a busy morning. I have a little bit of a cold, so if I sound kind of funny, sorry about that, but I'm going to see it through because this is such an important time in our world, and we want to make sure we get to all the news and all the important stories that we're covering for you. Okay, it's about 8 minutes past the hour. Busy, busy morning. Let's get right to the news on a Wednesday, the Feast of Pio of Petrolicina. President Donald Trump addressing the UN General Assembly in New York on Tuesday morning, defending countries who stand up for life.
Americans will also never tire of defending innocent life. We are aware that many United Nations projects have attempted to assert a global right to taxpayer-funded abortion on demand, right up until the moment of delivery. Global bureaucrats have absolutely no business attacking the sovereignty of nations that wish to protect innocent life. Like many nations here today, we in America believe that every child, born and unborn, is a sacred gift from God. There is no circumstance under which the United States will allow international entries to trample on the rights of our citizens.
He also said the UN must focus on real problems, including terrorism, human trafficking, religious persecution, ethnic cleansing, and drug trafficking as well. More than 8 in 10 Catholic likely voters favor some restrictions on abortion. A new poll by Real Clear Opinion Research for EWTN News finding just 15% of those surveyed say abortion should never be permitted. President Trump saying he will announce his pick for the vacant Supreme Court seat Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Now it appears that he has enough support from Senate Republicans to confirm whoever he selects, with Mitt Romney, the one Republican who voted to impeach the president earlier this year, now announcing that he believes the Senate should vote on the nominee the president chooses.
That's reporter Peter Alexander, who says the president is determined to have the Senate vote on his nominee before the November election. The president has said his nominee to replace the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg would be a woman. And as you heard, Utah Senator Mitt Romney is ending pretty much any hope of blocking President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court.
And if a nominee actually reaches the floor, then I will vote based upon the qualifications of that nominee.
Only two Republican senators have said they believe they should wait until after the election to vote to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It would take four Republicans voting against to block a nominee from being confirmed. The body of Justice Ginsburg lying in state at the U.S. Supreme Court, where she served 27 years. The justice's former colleagues, family, and close friends will have the chance today and tomorrow to pay their respects. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell promising to move ahead with consideration of a Supreme Court nominee.
The president planned to use the power the voters gave him to make a nomination. Senators will use the power the voters gave us to either provide or withhold consent as we see fit.
Speaking on the Senate floor, McConnell went after Democrats while speaking on the floor, saying they just can't stand to see Republicans using their majority. In other news this morning, rain in the Pacific Northwest could help crews battling wildfires in Oregon and Washington. Forecasters say rain over the next several days will bring some much-needed relief, but it won't last. A dome of high pressure expected to build early next week and push any storms up to Canada, possibly lasting into October. Another round of hot, dry weather forecast for early next week, with a possibility of record highs in Northern California and Southern Oregon beginning as soon as Monday. The Justice Department says it has dealt a powerful blow to the opioid trafficking black market in the U.S. by making 120 arrests and seizing nearly 600 pounds of fentanyl. Speaking with reporters, Deputy Attorney General Jeff Rosen said the outcome is clear: no safe haven for drug dealing in cyberspace.
Activities here in the United States resulted in almost 120 arrests and the seizure of over 270 kilograms of drugs.
Adding that the crime on the dark web is a global problem requiring global cooperation. The University of California reportedly admitting more than five dozen students as favors to donors, family, and friends. Margarita Fernandez of the State Auditor's Office saying the university's admission system has treated more qualified students unfairly and inconsistently.
We found that the system has been improperly influenced by relationships and monetary donations. In fact, 64 students were admitted because of donations to the university or connections to influential individuals.
UC President Dr. Michael V. Drake saying the school will swiftly address the state auditor's concerns, noting those involved in improper activities will be appropriately disciplined. And more evidence of the fallout of COVID-19 taking a big toll, another poll shows, on the emotional well-being and brain health of Americans. Dr. Andrea Clemes says this new poll shows most people are feeling the emotional effects.
During the pandemic, two out of three people have said they've had increased feelings of depression or anxiety, and about half said that they felt, you know, mood changes, personality changes, issues from the social isolation, and brain fog.
She says one of the key ways folks can clear some of that brain fog is by staying socially connected. She says if it's not possible to safely be face-to-face, just pick up the phone and keep in touch. And restaurants are working hard to prepare for outdoor seating as cooler temperatures are on the way. Constantine Stavropoulos, owner of Open City Restaurant in Washington, D.C., says folks would much rather sit outside.
Even though we are allowed to have 50% capacity indoors, people are not filling the seats inside. They're still preferring to sit outside.
D.C. is offering a $6,000 grant to help restaurants prepare for things such as outdoor dining and other issues. City restrictions allow 50% capacity indoors. The district is temporarily waiving fees for outdoor patio use and propane tanks to help keep establishments afloat. And finally, in our news segment at 14 minutes past the hour, the biggest film in the world history. That's how actor Jim Caviezel is describing the sequel of Passion of the Christ. During an interview with Breitbart News last week, he was also recently on The World Over with Raymond Arroyo. Hope you saw it. Caviezel saying he had recently received the third draft of The Passion of the Christ Resurrection from director Mel Gibson. If you recall, Caviezel played Jesus in the first film, which earned $612 million worldwide on a production budget of only $30 million. 15 minutes past the hour. Do hope your Wednesday is going well. You are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We have great resources for you on EWTN.com and also AveMariaRadio.net. Don't forget the National Day of Prayer and Fasting, an effort started by our very own Father John McCarter. You hear on both Ave Maria and EWTN. We have the link on our website at AveMariaRadio.net. Michael O'Neill, the Miracle Hunter, up next. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
As a pro-life Catholic, you don't support abortion, so why would you support a healthcare company that does? At CMF Curo, we believe there's a better way of doing healthcare. We partner with one of the country's leading health-sharing ministries so you can get authentically Catholic pro-life healthcare. Find out if CMF Curo is right for you. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
Dr. Ray Guarendi of The Doctor Is In has been described in many ways. Sensitive.
Are you kidding me? How'd that thought even bounce into your head?
Insightful.
I am flat out clueless. But at least I'm aware that I'm clueless.
Empathetic.
Oh, boy. If I were in your shoes, I'd jump out. Right now.
Well, nobody we know would use these descriptions. Just the same, you can talk with Dr. Ray yourself every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's a Wednesday morning, and so excited. We're working on getting Michael O'Neill on the phone with us this morning to talk about a number of events coming up, including Miracles of Padre Pio, which is airing on EWTN September 23rd. That's today. That is the feast day. It's at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, and he's going to be interviewed on EWTN Live at 7 p.m. before that. That's Central. And, wow, I can't wait to see this because St. Pio of Petrolatina is one of my favorites, and I know he's probably one of yours as well. Michael O'Neill joins us. He's known as the Miracle Hunter, and he's written a number of books, and excited to talk about the special and also his new radio program. Michael, good morning. Always great to have you on the program.
Good morning, Teresa.
All right, so tell us, first of all, about the miracles of Padre Pio, which is actually airing this evening on his feast day.
Yeah, this is a project that I'm so excited about. I filmed it in Italy while I was there for the 50th anniversary for Padre Pio 2 years ago in 2018. And people will notice the big crowds that gathered to see Padre Pio. There are no crowds these days, of course, but 2 years ago, there were massive hundreds of thousands of people. People say in that part of Italy, he might be more popular than the Blessed Virgin Mary. Not true, of course, but so people will get a sense from some of these beautiful drone shots and the shots behind me as I'm presenting how many people gather, because he is the most popular saint there. And in my opinion, I've been studying miracles a long time. As you know, he is the greatest modern miracle-working saint, so a lot to talk about with him.
Well, there was a movie that aired about him that was made in Italy, a dramatic film that was airing over the weekend. I happened to catch it. I couldn't sleep for a number of reasons, so I turned on EWTN, which always calms me down, and I was watching it. And I think sometimes we forget. I mean, we know that he suffered greatly, not only physically, but that he suffered attacks from the devil, but we also know he suffered great persecution from within the church. And there was a scene there, and I'm not sure if it's accurate, but he was having this discussion with his superiors from his order. And what they were saying to him, I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, we think, I guess, that maybe some of these saints, maybe they didn't suffer as much as we thought, but they really, the suffering, for example, that he had was just incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah, we talk about the physical suffering. That's, of course, the most famous. Him bearing the wounds of Christ for 50 years in a very visible way. But as far as, he was a complete exercise in humility, and I think we all need to take a page out of Padre Pio's life, because he was under such great scrutiny. The church actually suppressed him for some time while they studied the phenomena around him. And he did it with such grace and did it quietly. So I think, you know, he's an example for all of us in obedience and humility. So, you know, I think that's really a great thing about him. But the miracles are what people get excited about. And the miracles in this story, the miracles of Padre Pio airing tonight at 9 p.m. Central, are absolutely incredible. I'm so excited about this program.
There's quite a few associated with him. So how do you pick which miracles you're going to be focusing on in the documentary?
Well, it kind of just happened to me, which is a strange thing. And maybe I chalk it up to St. Pio's intercession. But I was there filming, and we were in San Giovanni Rotondo for this big anniversary and capturing everything we could. And we actually filmed at his hospital, the Casa Sarajevo, which some people say is his greatest accomplishment, or what he should best be known for, because it's this completely modern and Catholic hospital that serves the poor in a big way. And we were there filming some doctors and administrators, and filming all the beautiful artwork and statue of Padre Pio there. And as we were leaving, I asked the administrator, I said, you know, I think about 20 years ago or so, there was a miracle here that led to his canonization. Is there anybody at all in the entire hospital who can talk to us about that? And she hopped on the phone, she called upstairs, and she said, you're in luck. The exact doctor who was there on that case that day, he's available right now.
Wow.
And he speaks English. And so we raced upstairs, and we got the interview, and he told this incredible story of the boy who died on the operating room table after an hour and a half of heart massage. And the doctor himself prayed to Padre Pio that he come back to life, and the parents were praying to Padre Pio. And while the boy was out, he had a vision of Padre Pio bringing him back to life. So it's absolutely incredible. And this film, Miracles of Padre Pio, it culminates with this incredible miracle story. So I was so excited that little miracle happened to us, that we were able to capture that.
So what else, what are the miracles? I know that you have several, but not to give it away because we want people to watch tonight, but do you talk about the stigmata, which in a sense is a miracle?
Yes, we do talk about the stigmata, and we talk about bilocation, which is another thing that's associated with Padre Pio. And there are numerous high-ranking people or reputable people, bishops, cardinals, and otherwise, who attested to this Capuchin fire being there in an important moment at you know, at the when someone is sick or on their deathbed or some other thing where you see Padre Pio appearing in two places at once. And then, of course, the stigmata, bearing the wounds of Christ. This is a very strange phenomena in the history of the Catholic Church where very, very few saints exhibit the wounds as they understand the suffering of Jesus Christ. And so Padre Pio is the most famous example of that. And we actually have live footage of Padre Pio in the film itself. And most people have not seen paintings or photographs, but we have footage of Padre Pio alive in this film, and we show him at Mass, etc. And you can see the gloves that he wore to obscure these the wounds from sight. So it's really an exciting thing for people who don't know about Padre Pio. This film, Miracles of Padre Pio, at 9 p.m. tonight on EWTN, is a great entree into him.
Michael, we'll take a break and then come back and talk more about the special this evening, The Miracles of Padre Pio, which is premiering 10 p.m. Eastern tonight, 9 p.m. Central, following a special 8 p.m. Eastern EWTN Live interview with Michael O'Neill. And his new radio show also will discuss next The Miracle Hunter and more, of course, about Padre Pio and miracles themselves. We'll be right back.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The breadth of power that liberal governors such as Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan and Andrew Cuomo in New York seek to wield against private citizens during this current pandemic is frightening. Contrary to their views, our federal constitutional rights don't go away in an emergency. These governors feel only a nominal constraint by our Constitution, as evidenced by the restrictions they have imposed on our liberty. Under the banner of public health, they believe that their power is plenary and that the Constitution has little role, if any, in curtailing that power. They are mistaken. Indeed, there is no pandemic exception to the fundamental liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. If the courts, and more importantly, we the people who ultimately control the fate of these politicians at the ballot box, were to simply accept the governor's actions and acquiesce to their power grab, then it is the fiat of the governors and not the Constitution that is the supreme law of the land. We aren't willing to surrender our freedoms so easily. We filed multiple federal civil rights lawsuits against both governors in federal courts in Michigan and New York. In the final analysis, if we don't demand our God-given inalienable rights, then they will be lost. Fight for freedom or lose it. It's that simple. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel of the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
You can check out Michael's great work at his website, miraclehunter.com. And looking forward to not only the programs tonight, but also his new show, which will be on EWTN Radio. Michael, tell us about the radio program.
It's for me because I have joined EWTN Radio. People have been familiar with my radio program over the years, and now it's moved to EWTN Radio and starts on October 3rd. So I'm so excited about that. The new program coming up, and we'll be talking to Susan Tassone, who I know you know very well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you talk about a ball of energy. You think I talk a lot. Wait till you...
Yeah, if I'm nervous about my first show, she'll take over for me, I'm sure. But and then we'll also be talking to the producer of the film Fatima. So it'll be a great first show. And, I couldn't be more thrilled about moving over to EWTN Radio. And, it'll be the similar format, and I'll be adding a new segment about They Might Be Saints. I'll be doing sort of the future saint of the day on that program, and that'll pair up nicely with my program in EWTN Television, They Might Be Saints. So it's an exciting time.
So take us back. How did this all get started with you? How did you get so interested? I know you've shared your testimony before, but how did you get so interested in miracles?
Well, I think it's like many good things in life. This one dates back to my mother when she was young. And I think when my mother experienced her mother, my grandmother, losing her faith and perhaps even being antagonistic or negative towards the Catholic Church and saying, you know, why do we worship statues, and why is, you know, just a question of why, and sort of giving up on her faith. And my mother, as a young girl, became distraught at this idea, and she began to pray to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And anybody who knows me or has seen me, I don't have a drop of Mexican blood in my body, so it's an interesting thing that my mother turned to the famous devotion in Mexico, where Juan Diego saw Our Lady of Guadalupe in an incredible image form. But she prayed and said, someday, if my mother comes back to the faith, I am going to become a school teacher, and I'm going to teach every student I ever have on December 12th the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And if I have ever any children when I grow up, they also will hear the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe every year. Well, the story goes that every single year I heard the story, whether I liked it or not, the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because my grandmother came back to the Catholic faith. And so there's always a little bit of a little miracle story in our family. And
right.
So that miracle story paired with the incredible miracles of Guadalupe that always kind of interested me. So fast forward some years to college, and I was taking an archaeology class, and the professor said, for your final paper, you have to write about some artifact that's had an impact on the history of the world. Sure enough, I chose the Toma of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Wow.
And all those hours in the library, that I was saying, my eyes were being opened. I had heard of Fatima, Lourdes, Guadalupe, the famous Catholic ones, but I had no idea there were so many thousands of miracles that happened over the ages that the Catholic Church actually supported. And so I said, well, when I get old, someday I'm going to study miracles because this is so interesting. Well, at graduation, around graduation, Condoleezza Rice, who's the vice provost at Stanford, she gave this piece of advice, which I thought was brilliant, which is, no matter what you do in life, no matter what you study, no matter what career you have, make sure you set out some time to become an expert in something.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was the world's expert in some tiny aspect of Czechoslovakian military history in 1 year. And she said she was the world's expert on it. She knew it. So she said, find your sliver of the universe and own it. And I said, you know what? I want my expertise to be miracles. And so I registered miraclehunter.com. This was in the late 90s when nobody was setting up websites on their own. And I just set out to populate that website with as much as I could. And sure enough, we have all these National Geographic and other opportunities that have come up along the way. And this is an exciting thing now that it culminates with EWTN too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
To bring my search for miracles there.
Amen. We're chatting with the man known as the Miracle Hunter, Michael O'Neill. New series, They Might Be Saints, you've heard about, of course, over the past couple of years in EWTN. But tonight, The Miracles of Padre Pio, premiering 10 p.m. Eastern. Today is Padre Pio's feast day, following a special at 8 p.m. on EWTN Live. And then don't forget the radio show, which premieres 7 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, October 3rd, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And Michael, what you mentioned in your own life, that was a miracle of a different sort. When we think about miracles, we tend to think of them in the big, you know, in the big fashion, in terms of, let's say, right, the shroud, or let's say the tilma, or something associated with something very big in our faith that attracts people. But every day at the Mass, we have the miracle of the Eucharist. And even the miracle that you talked about with your family and how your grandmother came back to the faith, or the story I told about how just when I needed some support, this quote from Padre Pio just popped out and literally dropped in my lap of an envelope that I was looking through, and it was specifically an answer to prayer that I had had seconds before. Those are miracles too. And it's important for us to realize the big miracles and the little miracles are all around us. Would you agree with that?
I do. I call them the capital M miracles, these apparitions, the incorruptibles, the stigmata,
right,
the Eucharistic miracles, the weeping statues. These are the ones that make the news, and those are the ones that catch my attention, because I like to see the investigation to show that science can actually show that there's no natural explanation to these things. But there are smaller miracles, the lowercase M miracles that happen in our lives every day, the things that bring us closer to God. And we need to chase miracles no further than going to Mass each and every day, where we see on altars all around the world Jesus present to us. So, you know, miracles abound around the world, for sure.
So what do you hope in terms of the program tonight and also your radio program that folks will get from your presence on the air? What are you hoping for? What's your prayer for them, folks who are listening or tuning in?
Well, I think there can be a lot of inspiration found in miracles. And Padre Pio specifically, the three major stories that I cover in this episode are three of the greatest that I've come across and been able to interview the exact recipient of the miracle. So this is very special, this program. And I hope that people find inspiration in that. We're all going through some tough times these days with coronavirus and everything else. It's been a tough time to be a human, I think, this past year. So hopefully people find a little bit of uplift in this show. But when I talk about miracles each week, that will be Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern time each week. I'll be talking about some of these incredible miracle stories. And when we get down in the dumps and when we question our faith and all these things, these miracle stories can inspire and can really bring some attention to the things that excite us in our faith. So,
right, and sometimes we ignore those little miracles because we don't think, oh, that can't be real, that can't be something that actually happened to me, that was just coincidence. I always say there are no coincidences, only God-cidences.
That's right, and I think miracles can be a point for opening the door to faith for people who don't believe or who might believe something else. I think that miracles can be that entry point. So I think it's a great point to start, at least.
Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to see the premiere tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern, The Miracles of Padre Pio, airing on the Great Saints Feast Day. And don't forget the program, The Miracle Hunter, the radio show, 7 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, October 3rd, is the premiere on our very own EWTN right here at Global Catholic Radio Network. Thank you so much for all your great work, and let's keep in touch and have you back on soon, Michael.
Thanks, Teresa. Talk to you soon.
All right, God bless. Oh, great show, and wow, what a great saint to feature. And I'm telling you, God willing, once Italy and all the other great places that have so many amazing religious sites open up, if you haven't been there, put that on your bucket list, really, because there's nothing like going to the tomb of the great saints and also to the Holy Land. It's just phenomenal. But we take you there as best we can on EWTN. So again, tonight at 10 o'clock. It'll be very exciting, The Miracles of Padre Pio, and then the new radio show, October 3rd. 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Speaking of EWTN, Jones Rome up next on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
What is truth? Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, not realizing that he was looking at truth. Jesus Christ is the truth and the source of all truth. The Catholic Catechism states that man tends by nature toward the truth and that he is obliged to honor and bear witness to it. Thomas Aquinas asserts men could not live together if there were not mutual confidence that they were being truthful with one another. Truth entails both honesty and discretion between what ought to be expressed and what ought to be kept secret. Jesus told Pilate that he had come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Thus, the Catechism states, in situations that require witness to the truth of Jesus, a Christian must profess it without equivocation, even at the sacrifice of his own life. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back. 39 minutes past the hour. We go over to the Eternal City, as we always do every week, with our dear sister in the Lord, Joan Lewis of Joan's Rome fame. And my goodness, there's so much news. I'm sure you're following everything here in your native land of America, but I'm sure there's a lot of news overseas. You and I have been chatting, going back and forth, as we always do each week, and Great Britain has extended some of their closures now, I think, for another 6 months. Wow. You just wonder when this is going to be over. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you really, really do. And all this leading up to the big question on all of our minds, you know, is when can I come to Italy?
Right.
And I think that Great Britain, the Prime Minister said something about, you know, we're an extraordinarily social people. That's why they're, it sounded like it was his reason or excuse, I don't know which, for, you know, the big rise in the number of cases in the UK. And, but, I mean, you can say that. I'm a very sociable person. You are as well. Mm-hmm. And there's millions like us. But on the other hand, with the conditions in which we live, I know I have to respect a lot of rules and regulations and restrictions. And I'm willing to do that, certainly for my health and for others. You know, what if mm-hmm. I was an asymptomatic carrier or something else like that? So I think there's moments when we don't want to be who we aren't, that is to say social by nature, but yet we have to be. And so, you know, the Prime Minister himself was in the hospital in a touch-and-go situation at the beginning, you know, months ago.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
Now Italy is, they've developed, I don't know if it's actually public yet, there's a, not a vaccine, but there's a test out that the results can come in 3 minutes. And I don't know if they have started to use that yet in the airports. But Rome is becoming one of the most famous airports in Europe. It has been for a long time, ever since a fire 4 or 5 years ago decimated a huge part of Fiumicino Airport. And in the rebuilding, they just went gung-ho for future, for technology, for gorgeous stores, for ease of transportation, for so many things. And they've been in the front line now in the reaction to, in the testing of, et cetera, of COVID people. So if you come from 4 different countries, let's see, Croatia, Malta, I can't remember the other two, but anyway, if you come from 4 countries, you have to have documents on you and go through these tests. And then most of them don't take 2 weeks, but you do have to quarantine if you turn up to have the COVID virus. And until your test comes and says you're COVID free. So I just know that when the day comes when I travel again, I will have a test just to show to people at the airport here, to show to people in the United States, you know, hey, I'm fine, and just hope for the best. Well, I got an email a couple days ago that United has, this is like the fifth time this has happened in these months, that they have canceled my October 26th reservation. So I have to be in touch with them and find out what does that mean. I was supposed to fly from Rome to Chicago. So, you know, are they not having that flight? Do I have to go to a third country,
right,
an intermediate country? What's the deal? So I have to call them and find out, you know, what can I do? When can I come? Is this dependent on the United States? Is it dependent on Italy? Is Italy not allowing American companies yet to come in? I don't know. So next week I'll be able to tell you.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, because I know there's still the quarantine in effect. If you fly to Italy, you can get in there, but then you have to quarantine for 2 weeks and stay inside for two weeks. Yeah. Yeah. So what's the latest? There was a beautiful letter that was released from the Vatican, very powerful, and we had some stories on it on EWTNnews.com and also Catholic News Agency, the letter regarding euthanasia and assisted suicide. Very powerful.
Well, it's not like it was. It was powerful and beautiful and just answered any questions that person could have about the about end-of-life issues, you know, and because the subtitle was on the care of persons in the critical and terminal phases of life, the title being the Good Samaritan, Samaritanus Bonus, Latin, of course. But it reiterated, this was not the first time that the Holy See has spoken about assisted suicide or euthanasia, but has reiterated any form of those. And quoting in the beginning Pope St. John Paul, that, and I love this particular expression, that incurable is not synonymous with uncareable.
Mm.
And they set limits and talk about when you can provide and when you don't have to provide. You have palliative care, which is the very end, but they say you don't have to give aggressive treatments. But no matter whatever words that they use, talking about palliative care, a precious and crucial instrument with which to accompany the patient, palliative care must never include the possibility of euthanasia. And you know, Teresa, I mean, you and I know full well this letter is coming from the Catholic Church. It's obviously addressed to, I'm sure, people of goodwill, just as in addition to Catholic doctors, Catholic families, because you could be a Catholic family but not necessarily have a Catholic doctor. So you want to make sure if you want to, if someone in your family or you yourself, if you have to leave instructions, if someone in your family is in a situation which calls for palliative care, which calls for aggressive treatment, or what degree of aggressive treatment can you take? You know, I think you also, as a practicing Catholic, want to be in the hands of a Catholic doctor.
Yep.
And or at least hope that if it's not a Catholic but is a Christian doctor, that they understand your stance and would not disrespect whatever a family's wishes are.
Right.
So, but what was so interesting is I was reading the Vatican summary, because the actual document, it came out in four languages, and the actual full-length document, of which the Vatican website gave a summary, it's about 22 pages. So it is quite long, and there were 99 footnotes for the whole document on previous papal writings and et cetera, et cetera. But what I loved in the paragraph entitled Inalienable Dignity of Life, a word I honestly had never read before, the uninfrangible value of life. And I, on my own, put two little asterisks next to it. And then at the very end of the article, I said that that was the first time I had ever seen that word. And I said, while I had an idea of its meaning, I looked at all the other language translations of the Vatican translations, and every single one that I saw used inviolable. Mm-hmm. So I suggested that as the alternative title, if you will, or understanding of the word uninfringible. But so it's quite obvious. The document reiterates abortion, by the way, again, of course. Abortion, euthanasia, and willful self-destruction. Suicide poison human society and are a supreme dishonor to the Creator.
Right.
So, and then I love the way I don't know if that's the right word, but I found it important the way that the letter, it said, it quotes several factors that limit the ability of apprehending the value of life. Quoting, when life is only considered worthwhile only if certain psychic and physical conditions are present. And the letter notes a false understanding of compassion.
Yeah.
So, you know, a woman is pregnant and discovers that her child will be born with some kind of a disability. It is not compassionate to take the life of that
child right.
in abortion. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
The document is clear, but you can also see where it's very loving and understanding of people who, where, you know, there are families that have cases of terminally ill people, or they approach, obviously, the teaching on what many people call the vegetative state.
But I think it's really important because there's so much confusion when this happens, and people automatically assume that the church is saying, oh, well, we have to keep people alive indefinitely, whatever their situation is, and that's not what the church teaches. And the church explains that in terms of if we know that someone is not going to improve, if they are terminal, if it's been confirmed, there are ways to take care of that person and give them that end-of-life care. But it's not about keeping someone, you know, alive indefinitely just to keep them alive if there's not going to be
right.
any improvement. And there is mercy, but there is also great care that can be had, I mean, and has to be had. And that's what I think is so good about the document.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and then people who've given names like mercy killing,
yeah,
because of the how people will look at or understand the word mercy. As all of us understand it, mercy is a very beautiful thing. But mercy killing is just the opposite.
Right.
So, but that is taken care of in this document as well. They talk about deep sedation to alleviate pain. Medication is used that may, quote, induce the loss of consciousness, end quote. The letter affirms it is morally licit to sedate to ensure the end of life arrives with the greatest possible peace and in the best internal conditions.
Right.
So it covers every single possibility. I said what people are calling the legislative state. There's conscientious objection, a whole paragraph on that. They talk about care in the prenatal and pediatric stages. To use a very common expression, every base is covered in the letter. But you can tell that there's feeling there too for anybody who has a relative or a person in their family. It could be obviously a best friend or someone who fits one of the categories that they talk about. So it takes a lot to read with care just this summary of it. And reading, I did not read the whole, but read most of the original 21 pages. So there's a lot more to it than what's on the website. But I think for the average Catholic, all of the bases are covered in their very good summary.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very hard, you and I've had to do it, to write summaries of a much longer document and cover all the bases, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, well done, my dear. You did a great job of summarizing it in the last 20 minutes, so we greatly appreciate it. We are running a little bit short on time today because there's a clip that I have to play of a big national prayer event that's going on tomorrow. So we're going to let you go, and we look forward to seeing you on At Home with Jim and Joy, as you always do your beautiful reports, and also look forward to seeing you on your blog at Joan's Rome, Joan Lewis, stationed in Rome. And she joins us every Wednesday from the Vatican. We'll be right back.
Are you hungry for college football this fall? Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponents for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the live-stream football button. This Saturday, the Gyrenes try to crown Warner at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university, avemaria.edu.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, avemariaradio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Coming up tomorrow, Dr. Mary Healy, scripture scholar, speaker, author, professor at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, taking a look at the charismatic prayer group in which Amy Coney Barrett is involved. There's a lot of lies being spread, surprise, surprise, by the culture and the secular media. She will give us a full scoop. We're also going to be taking a look at a beautiful program on Theology of the Body from our friends at Ruha Woods. Right now, let's get to a quick interview that Father John Ricardo did with the local TV station regarding the big prayer event coming up tomorrow.
Nobody wants to live in a place where you're fearful for your life, regardless of your skin color. No one wants to live in a place where people are at odds with each other.
But in 2020, that's where we are. Division erupting from politics, police brutality, and COVID-19. So Father John Ricardo, a Catholic priest and former pastor of Our Lady of Good Counsel in Plymouth, wants to unite the country with a national day of prayer and fasting.
The call behind the day of prayer and fasting isn't to pray for the conversion of their hearts. Like, man, if y'all would just get it together, we'd be good. No, it's right here. It's my heart.
It will happen this Thursday, September 24th. The inspiration comes from President Abraham Lincoln, who in 1861, during the Civil War, called for a national day of prayer and fasting when all hope was lost.
Invite Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Muslims, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody, to set aside that day to do something similar and just to ask God to bring healing to our hearts.
Father John, who is now the executive director of the nonprofit Acts 29, says every bishop in the country is aware of this. A group at Ford Motor Company will take part, and people all over America have reached out.
So we've left it intentionally ambiguous so that people of all faiths can observe it however they choose to. So for me as a Catholic priest, we're going to try to do a procession with the Eucharist through one of the streets and neighborhoods of Detroit.
Father John will end the day of prayer with a Mass.
If we're not at the point, we're close to a point in our country where on our own, we can't fix this. And so let's ask God to fix it.
Father John Ricardo from Acts 29, National Day of Prayer and Fasting tomorrow. And for more information, AveMariaRadio.net. On our homepage in the slideshow. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the National Day of Prayer and Fasting. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.